Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Jamie Lee Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quit lit authors, and sober heroes. Hi, I'm Jamie Lee Grace. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who dropped me a line last week, whether it's by email or text or whatever, you know, Instagram message, whatever, just giving me feedback on the podcast, getting more and more of that. And it's really great to be able to connect with some of you, tell you a little bit about something I'm going to be launching very soon, tell you about that a bit later on. It was actually really interesting because last weekend I was 18 months sober. I think I told you on the podcast last week. And it's a real thing, you know, being 18 months is amazing. And I bravely posted something on LinkedIn. I don't use LinkedIn very much, but I posted something about being 18 months sober and flagged up the video that I'd made when I was 6 months sober, very raw, kind of talking to camera and sharing my experience and saying that I'd finally uploaded it when I was about 8-9 months and just how it felt to be coming out, you know, and just talking about the way that we're so often people sober shamers and ridiculers for saying we've stopped drinking. It's bonkers, isn't it? You know, that line, alcohol is the only drug you have to justify not taking. It's so very true. Anyway, I shared this on LinkedIn and I got lots and lots of comments and some really, you know, really, really good responses. But what was really interesting was that I got several private messages from people that I've worked with over the years in the entertainment industry or whatever. I'm obviously not going to name any names, but it was really surprising to hear from these people who I had no idea that they had that they'd given up booze. And of course they'd seen my message and then they left me a message and said, oh, I want to let you into a little secret, including one message from a guy that I worked with a long time ago saying, I've been sober for 10 years, best thing I ever did, welcome to this club. And I thought, yeah, it really is, isn't it? It really is this club, if you like, of like-minded people who we've just found this incredible positivity. It's just absolutely amazing. And there's this great hashtag, isn't there, but there by one of the American bloggers, we are the luckiest. And you know what? We are. We really are. It's amazing. So that's why I've actually started this new thing called the Sober Club. It's not up and running yet, but I'll tell you a bit more about it later. Because I think it is a kind of club. And you know what? Everyone's welcome when you decide you want to be in it. you know, you've got a little bit of hard stuff at the beginning to get through, maybe. But let's face it, anything worth doing might be a little bit tough at the start. A few weeks ago, I was the guest on the 1 Year No Beer podcast. I hope you enjoyed that if you got a chance to listen. And I thought, obviously, I'll return the favour and interview the guys from 1 Year No Beer. Now, it's not easy to get Rory and Andy in the same room together. So I'm doing the interview just with Andy. But of course, he's speaking on behalf of both of them. Fantastic work that they do. Particularly, I love their work around fitness. They get people onto fitness challenges, maybe people who haven't done really much for years and years. And they do some great things. I do think it's fascinating the way people so often find that when they give up the booze, there's more time in their life to do the things they maybe always wanted to do. People kind of find a renewed sense of purpose and find that they suddenly have the wherewithal to take on a challenge or to become fit or to lose weight or to start a business or write a book or create a charity or just have fun. You know, there's another thing, right? It's amazing how it frees up so much time for us when we're finally not having to constantly navigate the drinking. So enjoy the interview with Andy from 1 Year No Beer.
Welcome, Andy.
How are you doing? Yes, finally, yeah. We get to do this. We've threatened to do it a couple of times when we've bumped into each other and it's happening. This is
the song. It's brilliant. I love the work that you guys do. And I've come across you in sort of various different guises. I, you know, when your book was out, when you were doing various things at the Mindful Drinking Festival, speaking gigs, and then I've seen some of your kind of Facebook posts, and sometimes you're at events where you're covered in mud, or you're it always seems very active, very physical.
Yes.
So you obviously do a whole range of stuff with One Year No Beer. But let's just track back a little bit to just tell us about your story, and then how it came together, and a little bit about how you and Ruairi started working together.
Yeah, so I guess if we sort of whiz right back, initially I left school at 16 to pursue the dream of becoming a professional footballer, which I did until I was 21, which I absolutely loved. It was my total passion in life. Yeah, just football still is in many ways, but I got injured like so many young kids do at 21. Yeah. And that was it. My career was over. Then went off and travelled the world a bit with my now wife, you know, sort of Asia and Australia and whatnot, and wound back up in London, funnily enough, passing through to go back to Ireland, where my wife's from. That's where I was going to go back to. I love Ireland. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Anyway, my brother's happens to be a broker in the city, a trader in the city of London, and said, look, I think you'd be great at this brokering thing. I fell into it. It was pure fluke. And I found this thing that you know, I was very good at. You know, it was like professional sport for me. It was fast paced, it was electric. And to describe what it is, it's those guys you see in the bright jackets in the trading pits. Have you ever seen those on the screaming and shouting at each other?
Sell.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. sell, bye. Like, it's that stereotypical fast paced, electric, high stress, high reward type of environment. And I just excelled within it. It was just sort of made for me in many ways. And fast forward a few years, and you know, in record time I built a super big business, and I sort of reached that place, I think, that where conventional wisdom told me happiness resides. You know, when you get the car and the cash and the lovely wife and the kids and all that sort of stuff. And I remember one day, it was one of those sort of slow epiphanies where I came into the office almost expecting to sort of hear choirs and harps of angels playing as I like walked into my bliss because I'd finally made it. And it was one of those moments of, oh, is this it?
Yeah.
You know, it was that sort of 5 out of 10 moment that was completely off-putting. I was like, hold on, that doesn't make any sense. How has that possibly happened? You know, I've worked all these years, blood, sweat, and tears to reach this point, and I feel like 5 out of 10. And as part of that process, you know, I was overweight, unfit, unhappy, unfulfilled. I'd strained my relationships across the board to reach this place that conventional wisdom had told me where happiness was. And I just thought, this is not for me. And in this moment, I pretty much looked around the office, looked around the city of London, and I just saw more of the same. I saw more super successful people on that stereotypical sense with broken bodies, broken minds, broken homes. And I was like, I don't aspire to any of that. What is the point? And I was very tempted to sort of run off to the monastery and, you know, literally run away from the system that is the city. And I thought, do you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay in the job that I loved, that broken environment, but I'm going to do things differently. And as part of that, I left the firm that I was with. That was where Ruairi used to work. And I went to set up my own firm, and I thought, I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to do things on my terms. And part of that adventure was to take a break from alcohol. And it was huge. It transformed absolutely everything in my life, because prior to that point, I was trying to get fit and healthy again and do all those things. I was trying to meditate. I was trying to eat well, trying to exercise. But everything was always undone by a night on the sauce, you know, or a night entertaining clients. That consistency was never there in my life. Mm. And all of a sudden, I removed the alcohol. And the funny thing is, I'm sure you hear this all the time, it was the last thing that I ever questioned. You know, I've got to lose weight. I've got to get fit. I've got to change my diet. I've got to start meditating. The last thing I ever thought about was alcohol. It was like this sort of elephant in the room that just sort of sat there, because, you know, for me, it was part of my identity. It was who I was. I was this larger than life character who drank alcohol. That was
totally
me.
I was the same. I mean I was totally into, you know, well, still am, all things holistic living. I was always banging on about, you know, don't put chemicals on your skin, eat the best organic food, you know, do your yoga, everything. I mean, literally the whole thing, apart from that one bit of the one little piece of the jigsaw puzzle that I'd managed to convince myself was perfectly fine because everybody else did it. And because I believe those ridiculous articles that you still see that try and tell you that alcohol is good for you. What the hell is that actually about?
Isn't it amazing? And that's it, right? So we're all running around, and then I say this to people, and I love meditation, right? And I love, you know, I have a plant-based diet now, and I exercise all the time, and all those things, they are all amazing. But the great irony is this: you can go and do all of that stuff until the cows come home. You can go and meditate every day, but if you're still going out twice, two or three times a week, drinking too much alcohol, all of that hard work is undone and more. It is the gateway when you give it up to the good stuff, you know. And I think it's that missing piece of the puzzle for so many people, and it certainly was for me when I finally removed it. And it was really difficult for me to stop in many ways.
How did you do it? What process did you take? What support did you get?
Well, this is the thing. There was none for me.
No, well, that's true.
That was the real genesis of the whole One You Know Beer movement, because I wasn't addicted. I wasn't dependent. I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't identify with any of those things because that wasn't me. But when I tried to stop, I found it incredibly difficult because there were no role models. There were no tribes that I could find. There was no sort of support for someone like me. It was, you're either in this massive box where you put a big label on your head and say you've got a problem, which I didn't have, or there was nothing. It was like tumbleweed. So I found it difficult because I didn't understand my own brain at that point, you know. The mechanics of willpower and motivation and all of those things. And actually, it was in wrestling with it. The social pressure tripped me up most of the time. Again, being a broker in the city and my identity was this larger-than-life character. When you try and switch that off 1 week and suddenly you meet the same person the following week and say, I'm not drinking tonight, it's just not good enough excuse. You know, my clients would sort of rubber arm twist me into drinking again quite quickly. So it just took me a lot of trial and error and then education, you know. And I think where maybe I was different to lots of people, rather than sort of give up and assume that I was broken or I was weak-willed or whatever it was, I was really intrigued by it. I was like, hold on, why is this happening? I know I don't have some sort of physical addiction, but I'm finding it quite difficult to stop because I can't overcome the social pressure, or I'm tripping up. I'm going out on a night out, and instead of ordering sparkling water, suddenly there's a pint of beer in my hand, you know, all those sort of things that happened on numerous occasions. So I started to study a lot, you know. I just touched on it before when we were talking off air about, I went back part-time, studied degrees and master's degrees in positive psychology and coaching psychology, NLP, became a master practitioner, studied mindfulness, all of these things, because I wanted to understand my brain and why, you know, I was behaving in such a way. And in unlocking that code, first and foremost, I transformed my own life, because suddenly I got to 28 days and everything started to change. And I've been able to use that, I guess, that experience and that knowledge and that science to eventually help lots of other people, which is
totally exciting. And it's amazing that you did that. And I think, you know, I mean, I also sort of inhaled as much inspiration as I could. I didn't do it quite as highbrow as you. I'm really impressed that you're doing a master's. All I did was read a ton of Quitlet and lots of podcasts. But the point is, I think that, however, and I hear this from so many people, smart people, people who are successful, people who in all other walks of life, things are going good. They're not absolutely not losers. And it's almost like, why can't we crack this? What should be a simple thing? What is it that we can't crack this? And it's a very interesting one, isn't it? Till you really get your head around it, which you clearly did. I mean, what was the, if you had to kind of sum up why this thing, you know, how does it manage to trick our brain into thinking that it's a good thing to do when we're otherwise fairly smart?
Yeah, and I'll say there's one good thing about alcohol. It doesn't discriminate.
Yeah,
black, white, rich or poor, it catches everyone out. And I think I sort of describe it a bit like a cuckoo in the nest in many ways, that most of us start drinking in our teens and then we don't really stop, and just slowly but surely it creeps into our life and it starts to push out our motivation. It starts to push out our energy. It starts to attach itself to fun. It starts to attach itself to connection and friendship and all of these things. And it's then so intertwined in our world, from celebration to commiseration to relaxation, that we can't almost unwind it. And then suddenly we try and like rip it out almost by taking a break. And it's like, whoa, hold on a minute. I don't know how to socialize without this thing. I don't know how to relax without this thing. I don't know how to make connection without this thing. It is amazing that it does that to people. on every level. And this is the really important point about our conversation today. This is not about alcoholics or problem drinkers. This is about everyone who drinks. This is about the moderate drinker, the average drinker, who's sometimes a heavy drinker, which is basically everyone. You know, and this is where we're aiming, because I think people just don't realize, you know, how this cuckoo has got into the nest, as it were, and it starts to push out all those good things like connection and love and friendship and all those type of things over time, until you take a break and then you see it for what it is. And that's why it's so, so important that, you know, organizations like, you know, Club Soda and One You Know Beer and the wonderful work that you do are out there, because they're giving people that opportunity to see it for what it is. And that's why you get these massive transformations, because I think after 28 days or 90 days of really seeing what life's like without the booze, and you get your energy back and your mojo back and your time back and your zest for life back, you're never the same. You won't go back to the way that you were.
No, absolutely. I mean, and you were, as you were saying, a lot of people start drinking in their teens, and then, you know, years later when you give up, it's almost like you've got to rediscover who you are. You don't actually know who you are anymore. The real you. It's amazing. Tell us about meeting Ruairi then, and the idea for One Year No Beer.
Yeah, so as part of that process, I got about 6 months in, and as mentioned, I'd left to set up a new firm and left Ruairi at the old firm. And at this stage, I'd lost 3 stone in weight.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. Fab. My body fat had gone from 35% down to below 10%. My eyes were bright again. My business was absolutely, you know, it was flourishing against all the odds, by the way, considering in my industry, when I first said that I was going to take a break from alcohol, they basically said, and Ruairi had the same, that it would probably finish our career. You know, you won't survive in this industry if you're not out entertaining people by drinking alcohol. So for me to go and set up a new business, which ended up being 7 times bigger in half the time, by the way, in an industry that was awash with alcohol, because I wasn't drinking. You know, it was super powered, because, you know, you've always got the energy and that mojo to make the calls when other people were half asleep. But anyway, so I'm 6 months into it. I'm feeling great. And I've got this lunch booked with Ruairi. And bearing in mind, I haven't seen him for the last 6 months. So in my mind, I'm thinking, oh no, this is going to be another one of those. I'm going to have to spend half the lunch telling Ruairi why I'm not drinking, because he's a big entertainer, a big sort of party boy. Unbeknown to me, Ruairi had also stopped drinking. So in his mind, he was thinking, I've got to go and meet Andy Ramage. This is going to be a massive beano. Yeah. I'm going to have to tell him. And then, of course, we turn up. I've lost all the weight. I'm looking completely different. Ruby's looking great. We're both flying. And then we just wax lyrical for the next like 4 hours about how amazing this like not drinking thing is. And as part of that, we thought, you know, we've got to share this. We've got to share this with more people. This, you know, this has got to be out there. Like, why didn't we think of doing this like all those years ago? And as part of that, Ruairi had much more technical knowledge than me. We set up a little website. I wrote a little ebook, put it up on the Tinter web, as it were, expecting just a couple of people to download it who were maybe brokers in the city or whatever. And within 5 minutes, it had been downloaded 10,000 times in 40
countries. No, really? Yeah,
people from Brazil were contacting us.
What was it called? What did you call it?
I can't even remember what the first ebook was called. Maybe it was called One You Know Beer. Or it was 10,000 words. I wrote it whilst on holiday in Dubai. I remember just sort of slapped it down, but it was this. And the reason it was resonating, because it was very much the story was this: you're not giving anything up. You're gaining advantage.
Exactly.
This is not about like missing out. This is about you powering up your life and your career. And that really seemed to connect with people rather than the sort of doom and gloom. You have to give this thing up for the rest of your life. It was like giving yourself the biggest favor you could ever do by taking a break. And that was the sort of, that was the genesis for it. That was the spark in many ways.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I mean, as you know, I know that's what you guys do, and that's very much what I'm trying to do, is just encourage people to just, if you can just catch sight of the fact that you're not giving anything up at all. It's all about what you're getting. It's so hard when you're in it, and those early weeks and early days and early weeks, it can be hard to see that. So I think that's why the Quitlet and the podcasts and the support that people like you offer is so important, because that's when you can hear from other people, just hang on, it gets better. tell us about the community then, and the some of the things that One Year No Beer get up to.
So from that sort of original ebook, we didn't even, you know, the funny thing, we were even unsure about, do we set up a Facebook group? Do we set up a community? Would anyone be interested in this thing? And now it's probably the most powerful thing about the whole One You Know Beer movement is the tribe that has evolved that I think we're both just proud to be a part of. We're just the sort of clumsy custodians of this thing that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger in many ways, because it's sort of self-generating by the people that come and take a challenge, and some of them do it perfectly and many of them stumble and fumble just like me. It took me 50, 60 goes to crack this thing. But as part of that, we've generated this community where you look around, you go into our closed Facebook groups or even externally, and you see this group of people that are all just like-minded from all over the world on a shared mission just to be a little bit better. It's nothing more flash or poignant than that. They just want to be a little bit better just to get on top of this alcohol thing. And the transformations are amazing. And the inspiration's wonderful, because you mentioned it there earlier. You can come into the group and be really wrestling on that day 5 or day 10 or whatever it is. And then you see someone in that same group just like you, who's now on day 90 or 1 year no beer or whatever it is, and they've had this wonderful transformation. Maybe they've lost weight, maybe they're looking fitter and healthier and powering up their life, and it just sort of feeds the whole engine of inspiration, which I just love being a part of. It's just, you know, genuinely every day I'm in there Facebook live in trying to inspire other people's and being inspired by them. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. And tell us about some of the, I said I quite often see you guys kind of look like you're muddled up doing, is it Spartan events or something? Just tell us about that activity side of things.
Yeah. When we first set it up on day 2, I think, of the challenge, we would challenge people to take on a physical challenge of some sort. Just because you get so much time and energy back, you almost need something to channel, you know, all that zest for life that was coming back. And as part of that, it grew into, you know, from marathons to triathlons to park runs. And again, it doesn't have to be super duper climbing Everest stuff. It could be literally going to your local park run and walking 5K or whatever it is. But as part of that, we created a partnership with Spartan Races, which is the biggest obstacle race in the world in over 20 countries. They have like a million participants. And Joe DeSena actually now is an investor, who is the founder of Spartan Races and investing.
All right, brilliant.
So we're a part of all of their races, pretty much all in Europe, and we encourage lots of our members to go and do it, to push themselves. It's just all this stuff is designed to give people the confidence that they can do more than they ever believed. And I think from a psychological standpoint, taking a break from alcohol is a massive, massive moment. It's a massive win that creates huge momentum in people's lives, because they realize that they can do something they probably never thought was possible just a few weeks earlier. And on the back of that, I think that's why we get these huge transformations, that people then lose weight or they get fit or they meet that certain person or they create the business and power up their career, is because of that foundational momentum they get from taking a break from alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. And so obviously your title, 1 year no beer, you're offering people a challenge, suggesting that they, you know, crack this over you know, for a year at least. What happens at the end of the year then? Do you, as part of your kind of community, do you have people who then become, you know, mindful drinkers, or do most people decide they're going to give up forever? How does it work?
Yeah, so I mean, the name's slightly misleading, and we are working on that. We might end up having some sort of rebrand in many ways, but we offer 28, 90, and 365 day challenges, and very much what we're about is just transforming your relationship with alcohol, however that looks for you. And what's nice is that myself and Rui, the other co-founder, we're the sort of yin and yang of what can happen. Like, I choose not to drink. Why would I? It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I've created a vibrant lifestyle without it. You know, my mind can't compute going back to alcohol. Whereas Ruby drinks now, rarely, in full control, on his terms. Right? And I think that's where a lot of people dream of getting to, you know, that they can still drink a little bit, but they can drink on their terms when they want to. And I think that's really important that you can achieve both. In my opinion, the latter, i.e. Ruri's option, is way harder to achieve. I think it's much more simple when you just don't drink, because then it's easy, right? I think it's the whole sort of moderation thing is quite difficult for a lot of people. But, and again, our message is to transform your relationship, however that is. It's not about abstinence. It's not about being perfect, but it's about getting to that place where you're totally comfortable and in control again. And alcohol's not holding you back. That's the key thing, because it does hold you back from being your best, and it does steal your motivation and your mojo and all those things. So
it really does.
It's in your life, fine. But as long as it's in your life to the point that it's not holding you back, preventing you being your best, is the message, really.
That's so true. Alcohol steals your joy, doesn't it? It really does. So just tell us again a bit more about the stuff that you've been doing, Andy, with your tell us about the master's degree you've done, because I think there's something so just so massively important here. I was talking to Rory before we came on air, and he was saying that at some point, you know, you guys are going to try and get involved in some research around just how, you know, the actual benefits. But just back on your degree, and I don't know, just tell us anything you'd like to tell us on what this has meant for you when it comes to reinforcing this decision.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a very congruent person, you know, so I'm sort of like, I'm living this alcohol-free dream in many ways. And the only reason that I've just literally today got my final mark back on my master's degree, I got a distinction, by the way.
Wow, that's so brilliant. Well done, brilliant. You. Where did you do your master's, and what was it in, just in case anyone has missed that bit?
Yeah, I couldn't recommend it enough. It was with the University of East London, and the master's degree is in positive psychology and coaching psychology.
Great.
But the only reason that exists in my life is because I stopped drinking. It's a fact. The only reason that I could be consistent in time and the effort to study was because I didn't drink alcohol, you know, and all of this stuff feeds into one another. So yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, with One You Know Beer, we're going to do a lot more on the research side of things, just to demonstrate that actually taking a break from the booze is so good for you. I mean, there's some great research out there from Professor Kevin Moore on the physical side of things that he described as staggering. In fact, he went on to say, if this were a pill, it'd be worth billions, because I think in his research, and these were just normal drinkers, they lost on average, only over 30 days, by the way, 3 kilograms in weight, reduced their liver fat by 40%, reduced their risk of cancer, type 2 diabetes, all of these wonderful stats. Professor Kevin Moore was like, this stuff's unreal. Like, why are people not doing this?
It's unreal. I mean, this, it would appear nothing that giving up doesn't improve. There are no ailments that it doesn't actually improve. I mean, I was one of the people who didn't lose weight. I think you have to be realistic that it doesn't happen for everyone, although I probably had a bit of a sugar head on, in fairness. But, you know, I didn't lose weight. But a year and a half on, I actually think I'm younger.
Absolutely.
I mean, I work in the media, so clearly I have to get younger every year. I really do. And I think, you know, when those kind of stats come out, they're proven. I think people are going to appear younger. How cool is that?
Exactly. And you even get sober hair, which always made me laugh. It's a sort of waste on me. But, you know, what is so, you know, apparently it's more bouncy.
More glossy, yeah. Totally.
Yes, voluptuous. But then doesn't that get me thinking, what's drunk hair? Is it get all over emotional and get sick all over? I don't know.
Yeah. And don't worry if you're bald, by the way. There are still many, many benefits for you.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. Well, it's great to talk to you, Andy. And I know you're going to come and be a guest on one of our Self-Care for the Sober Curious events as well. So that would be great. So just tell us where people can find One Year No Beer.
Yeah, so it's oneyouknowbeer.com. We're doing loads on the socials. OneYouKnowBeer on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn as Andy Ramage, and Instagram as Andy Ramage MV for motivation, where we're doing lots more behind the scenes stuff of what it's like to be an alcohol-free adventurer. Just trying to inspire a few more people.
Cool. That's a great phrase, an alcohol-free adventurer. I love that. Well, I was talking to Rory about his, we share a love of the sea, although I think he actually goes out in boats, which is, it sounds a little excessive for me. But we agreed that I would come up to Berwick and we'd do another podcast, but we have to do it on the sea. So that sounds cool. I look forward to that.
Good luck.
I'll
skip that one.
Great. Andy, thank you so much for your time, for you and Rory, for the absolutely amazing work that you're doing with One Year No Beer. It's just totally inspirational, and I look forward to much more of you guys and to see what you do. And congratulations again on your master's. That's just very cool. Really, really impressed. Amazing.
Thank you very much. And I'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you.
So thanks to Andy, and of course they have a great community at One Year No Beer. And something I'm starting in the not too distant future is the Sober Club. This is going to be a resource, I hope, like no other, because it's going to be bringing together lots of great experts. Because one of the things that I'm asked a lot is, okay, what do I do now? What do I do about relationships? What do I do about my career? What do I do about my health? You know, that kind of holistic approach that people very often come to after they've decided to ditch the booze or after they've stopped drinking for a little while. So we're absolutely going to have stuff in there about how you actually physically ditch the booze, because I know many people want support and help with that, of course. And there'll absolutely be accountability and there will be connection and a community. But there'll also be some great teaching and some really fantastic experts. So I'm just busy jacking that up at the moment. And so if you think you might be interested, absolutely no obligation, of course. But if you think you might be interested, then go to thesoberclub.com. That's thesoberclub.com and just leave us your email address. That's all it is at the moment. It's just collecting your email addresses. There's a little free PDF on self-care tips. But just give us your address, and the whoever's address we get on that little list will be notified first. And the first, however many people, haven't even decided yet, but a relatively small number of people will come on board at the beginning. So that's before I've got everything right. So you'll be part of the beta testing, as it were, part of the trial period. And so for that reason, it will be a really low fee that you'll stay at for as long as you want to be part of the club. Even if the price then goes up when it's all singing and dancing. But to start with, we'll kind of rock through it together. So if you think you might be interested, as I say, no obligation, obviously, but just go to thesoberclub.com and leave us your email address, and then you'll be the first to hear when we go live with all of this. Don't worry at all, because the podcast is continuing totally irrespective of that, and it's absolutely free, and I will always, as long as I have great inspirational guests, bring you this podcast. So no need to worry if you're thinking, oh no, don't tell me she's going to start charging for everything. I'm absolutely not. I just want another platform, because I'm getting a lot of people ask me stuff, and obviously it's becoming difficult to respond to that lots and lots of people individually. So I'll be able to be fully present if it's a kind of club vibe. But the podcast continues, and if you do have any guests that you would like to suggest for me, or if you would like to share your story, you know, please reach out to me. It's at Janie Lee Grace on Instagram and on Facebook. And the email is janie@janieleegrace.com. Mustn't forget to remind you that we have an event on Monday, the 22nd of July. It's called Self Care for the Sober Curious, and it's at the Jago in London, hosted by the charity My Yard. And when Rachel and I from the charity started doing these at the end of January, we had this idea that people who were trying Dry January, we wanted to encourage them to hang on for longer. So that's why we called our little campaign Stay Dry Till July. And lo and behold, it's July. So we thought we'd have a bit of a party. So we've got a few special guests popping up. I know Laura from Club Soda is going to join us. But very informal, a bit of a party vibe. Hopefully we're going to have some live music. There'll be alcohol-free drinks, kombucha, some vegan nibbles. And it's really informal and everyone is welcome. And if you're thinking that you might be able to come, but you're feeling a bit nervous, please don't be. Just drop us a message beforehand and we'll make sure that someone meets you and introduces you to somebody else. The other events we've done have been really lovely. It's been a very nice atmosphere, and people are usually friendly and kind. So please come if you can. Monday, 22nd of July, the Self-Care for the Sober Curious. You need to book your tickets, reserve your tickets through Eventbrite, even though it is free of charge. So it would be fantastic to see some of you there. 2 days before that, it is the Mindful Drinking Festival in Spitalfields in London. That's organised by Club Soda. Fantastic opportunity to try out loads and loads and loads of amazing alcohol-free drinks. Everything from artisan beers, of which there are many, through to wines and botanical drinks and kombuchas and soft drinks, tonics, and the list goes on. So it's all at Spitalfields. It's out there in the open air. So let's hope it's a lovely sunny day like the ones we've been having. And that's 20th of July. And then, as I say, our event is on the 22nd. And of course, I must remind you as well that it's my TED Talk on Saturday, the 13th of July in Norwich. Of course, tickets are sold out now, I think, but you can watch the live stream. So the live stream obviously goes out live, and then the actual TED Talk will be on the TED site at some point. But it's a thing. It really is. And I'm really quite nervous, which is not like me, because I'm, you know, kind of queen of speaking in public. It's something I do all the time. In fact, I teach confidence skills. But this feels like such a big thing, I suppose. As the talk is so close to my heart, it's called Sobriety Rocks, Who Knew? So I'm sure you can guess some of the things I'll be speaking about. I really do want to get across this positive message. That's my aim, really. I think somebody who saw me on the or heard me on the One Year No Beer podcast said something like, I wish I could bottle your enthusiasm for this life. And I'm in danger of sounding over enthusiastic, but you know, is it possible to be over enthusiastic? I don't know. I think that I think the benefits keep on coming, you know, that we are the luckiest thing, that that sober club that we're part of. It gets better and better, so hopefully that's what I'll be able to get across in my TED Talk. Here's hoping. My self-care tip is kind of connected with that in a way, because I saw a piece in the press this week about how it's important if you're taking an exam or if you're doing something that's feels like it's high pressure, well, like my TED Talk, I suppose, that it's a really good idea to write down your fears and your worries, actually get them all out, get them out on paper. Don't try and resolve them, but just write down what it is you're worried about. And that absolutely makes sense to me. It's something I really need to do, because it's a way we try to avoid our fears and our concerns. We try to avoid voicing them because it feels much safer just to contain it and to try to speak positively. And of course, we're always being told to speak to speak positively, not to mention the negative all the time. But actually, somehow this stuff has to come out. And it reminded me of when I was training to be a EFT practitioner. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. If you haven't, if you're not aware of EFT, which is tapping, then go look it up. You'll probably think I'm talking absolute nonsense if you've not come across this. But anyway, the premise of EFT is that it works by a process of tapping on certain meridian points on the body. So let's say you tap the side of your hand, but at the same time, you actually say, preferably out loud, what it is that's concerning you. So what the issue is that you have going on. So in my case, I'm nervous about forgetting my TED Talk. I'm concerned that I might make a fool of myself. I'm worried that I might not look right, or whatever these fears are. And I was a real pain to the tutor, because I kept saying, no, hold on, this can't be right. This can't be right, because I've been taught that we're meant to speak positively all the time. We're meant to use affirmations and speak in the present tense as if the good stuff has already happened. But the tutor sort of patiently kept saying, no, trust me, that this process has to happen first. And of course, he was absolutely right. And EFT is very, very powerful, by the way, as a way of helping resolve all kinds of issues in a really gentle, completely non-invasive way. So there's your self-care tip. Whatever it is that you're worried about, particularly if it's a specific thing coming up or a specific event, write your fears down. Even if it's perhaps you're going out to an event, perhaps you've got a first coming up, whether it's a wedding you're going to or a party, or you're meeting friends who are big drinkers, write down what you're concerned about. It'll only take you a couple of seconds. And, you know, you never know, it might just help you reframe what's going on in your head, because these things can feel really big when they're kind of rocking and rolling around our subconscious. But actually, when you get them out on paper, you can ask yourself, well, is that really true? Am I really going to be boring at that party? Answer, no. Actually, it's the people who've had too much to drink who are boring. It's not the sober people. most of us started off as being the life and soul of the party, and I think you'll find we can still rock that. So there's a self-care tip. Make sure you go to thesoberclub.com if you want to pop your email address in there and be the first to hear about what I've got planned. And I'll see you same time next week for the podcast. Have a fantastic week. And if you're doing this and you're in the early stages and you're going through this, then here's a massive virtual hug.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast with Janie Lee Grace. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, share on social media, and tune in again.